that in itself, like going camping for 4 days with a bunch of strangers, can feel scary. And I got to sit in this large circle of people, mostly strangers at the time, and get to be honest. And everybody got to talk about like real feelings and real experiences. There is something about being under those stars in that park with this group of people, having like deep and meaningful connection that I have goosebumps right now. No, it was it was so emotional and so bonding that I love all of the physical activities. Like they're all so fun, but it's that connection that I made there with people.
Stories are powerful.
Welcome to the Rise, Recover, Live podcast, brought to you by The Phoenix. This is a space where people impacted by substance use can come to share their story of strength and resilience, get open and honest, and inspire hope and build community through shared experience.
We'll be talking to people in our community on their own recovery journey and shine a light on the topic of recovery in all its forms. Maybe you'll hear some of your story in theirs.
Let's show the world that together we rise, recover, and live.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Rise, Recover, Live podcast. We are your hosts, Bryce III, he, him pronouns.
And Liz McKean, she, her pronouns.
Liz, what up, though? How's your energy?
I am excited for this convo, and my energy's good. I'm just getting back from a little time away, and I'm happy to be back. Some of my favorite people in this room. How about you?
I'm good. Before I get into how I am, though, what was your food delivery service order from last night? I remember last time I said DoorDash or something that you don't align with. I pledge allegiance to Uber Eats or whatever
It's Uber Eats.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your Uber Eats order last night?
Oh, my gosh. How do we get here? Was it Jonathan? I think it was shout out to Jonathan.
Somebody said it.
Was like, it's apparently Liz's thing is ordering food. I didn't realize how much I talked about that. Okay. So last night I did order food. It was from Selena's Mexican Grill, and I got vegan enchiladas, and it was divine. Oh, and I had that leftovers for later. So I just got, now my energy just elevated. Got excited about leftovers.
See?
That's how we expect to be known for.
You feel me? It's better than me. I had ground beef that I ate with a fork last night, but we're going to elevate this week. I'm going to turn up a little bit. We're not doing ground beef with a fork anymore this week.
I'm believing you.
Today's episode is pretty dope. I think this is the most people we've had in a room virtually at the same time.
It's a podcast party.
Yeah. And everybody in here is just lovely people. And we're here to actually talk about Moab, which is a camping trip. And I'm going to let all of our guests expound upon the particulars around it. I haven't been personally, but I've seen so many things about it. It's Phoenix specific. People from the Phoenix go out and camp and have fun and trade stories and challenge themselves. But yes, who do we have here today, Liz?
I think it's going to be cool if we have each person kind of introduce themselves, but I'll just shout out names because I'm excited to, because I'm excited they're here. We've got Beth, we have Joey, and we have Mike. How do we feel about just kind of having everybody give a little spiel about what they're doing here, who they are? Cool.
Sounds good.
Cool. Awesome. Mike, you just nominated yourself. Tell us about yourself. We're so glad you're here.
Fair enough. Thanks. Thanks for asking me. I'm happy to participate. My name is Mike Ward. I'm out of Chandler, Arizona, originally from Chicago, and that's where I first originally heard of the Phoenix. But I relocated out here 3 years ago, and while I've followed the Phoenix and decided that when I saw the Moab trip last year, that would be a good starter to get involved in. I wanted to get out and get up north, and I hadn't done any traveling, and I thought, you know, it would be a way to disconnect, meet other like-minded people. And it turned out to be a wonderful event, and happy to support it in any way, shape, or form.
It's awesome.
Nice.
Cannot wait to hear more about that experience.
I always love the fact that Moab for you was like the first ever touch point with Phoenix. I pass it on to a lot of people to be like, this is so cool. Imagine like going to the desert and you're camping with 250 other sober friends, and that's your first experience of this thing. that's magical.
Very
that's
much magical. So. It exceeded expectations for sure.
Mm. And so, since this person commented on Mike's comments, I think this person should introduce herself next. Now, if you're not watching on YouTube, you don't get to see this person's nails. The nails is popping. They match in a water pretty. Bottle. who are you?
Hey, everyone. I am Beth Collinson, pronouns she, her. I am joining you today out of Boston, which is my new home. So I relocated to the US 2 months ago. So excited to be closer to Phoenix family. And I am, yeah, a Phoenix staff. So I work in our research and evaluation team and attended, or had the honor, really, of attending Moab last year, which was amazing. And yeah, I'm excited to be here today and reconnect with people that I met on the trip last year. And feeling a little bit nostalgic. Mm. I took like 10 minutes before this to look back on photos from Moab last year, which was really nice. And Bryce, we actually, so a group of us met in Denver and we drove out together. So it was like 7 of us who hadn't met before. And we listened to some of your songs in the van on the way out there.
Nice. That's so cool.
Nice. Mm. That's dope.
So that's me. Over to you, Joey.
Joey, somebody who we've never heard their voice ever in life. It's like, no, Joey is podcast alum. So some of y'all may be familiar with Joey's episode, which was a phenomenal one.
But thank welcome you. Back, Joey. Hi, Joey, be her. I am a volunteer coordinator in Los Angeles. And I also went to Moab last year for the first time. I'm also originally from Chicago. So lots of connections. And honestly, I heard about this trip before I started working for the Phoenix. And just the idea of it, I was blown away. I was like, I have got to go there. So when I found out that I was going last year, I was so excited. And that gave me a great idea because I'm driving one of the vans this year from Denver. So we're going to get some work going in the van. I'm so excited. Bryce, we need to get you there. Hey. We need to get to camping.
Yeah.
Right? We should make a Moab driving playlist for us all this year.
There we go.
I'll add to it on the way.
All that good stuff. Get a playlist together. Bryce doesn't want to get bit by a lizard on the knee. So I, when it comes to camping,
weird place to think you're going to get bit by a lizard. He's hanging out with spiders there, and he doesn't want to get bit on the knee by a lizard.
No, actually, Moab seems super dope. The first year I worked for the Phoenix, I was kind of excited to get out there. I know the capacity it got full, and then I didn't end up getting out there. And funny story of serendipity, because I wasn't at Moab, I was able to go to Mobilize Recovery in Las Vegas, and that's where me and Liz met. So look at that. And then was birthed this podcast and all other cool things that her and I have created together, as well as a wonderful lifelong friendship. Hmm. So thanks, Moab. And I haven't even been.
So true.
So for those of us, we're all familiar with Moab. We're all somewhat tied to the Phoenix. So when we hear Moab, like it makes sense when we hear it. But like, I remember the first time I heard it, I'm like, is that an acronym for something? Moab, M-O-A-B? There's so many acronyms in the world. Like, what was the motivation behind this? What is Moab? Is it a city? Is it a place? And let's start there.
It is all of those things. It is a city. It's a place. So there's the town of Moab, which is like a destination for tourists, and it's super cute. But then there's this national park that has views and rock formations that you, it's like, I was like, am I on Mars? Like it looks so foreign and so beautiful. I just couldn't believe like driving through it and hiking through it. It was like a landscape that I had never seen before.
And it's in Utah, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Foreign land for a Detroiter. I think, Beth, you said something similar, too, when you had told me about it previously in some conversation that we had where it was like, yo, this is like another world.
Yeah, I like the Mars analogy because that is how I felt felt. But Bryce, if you think it's foreign coming from Detroit, I came from the UK for the Manhattan trip last year. And I was like, whoa, where am I? Because this is landscape that I've never seen before. Even the car journey out to Denver was like, or from Denver was 7 hours, which as a Brit was the longest time I'd ever been in the car for at one point. Like in total. And everyone was like, what do you mean? And then I got there and there were some people like, yeah, I drove 17 hours to be here. And I was like, whoa, that is wild.
Well, that's so interesting.
But yeah, like vast, vast landscape that I have never experienced before.
Had you heard of Moab?
But just really like...
Had you heard of the park Moab before you came to the United States? Because I think it's somewhat well known like in the States just because it's like, you know, so breathtakingly beautiful. But is that something outside of the States that is known?
Honestly, I think purely through my time with Phoenix. Is there any reason I like came to learn about it?
That's cool. I was just curious.
And then you're talking about like people who, when you got there, said they drove 17 hours to get there. So it's like, that's got to speak to the culture. And I think like throwing it to Mike, when you decide that's one of the first things that you want to get out and try, like, what is the culture like out there? What is the community like? What was your experience like?
So for me, you know, I signed up before I actually had any interaction with anybody local here in Arizona because I had just recently moved. I had changed jobs, so I've been pretty much hustling for the last year and a half to kind of grow my business as well as, you know, my professional career. And when I saw the opportunity, I jumped on it. I mean, literally the price for renting a tent and getting a sleeping bag and going to Moab, which are things I didn't have, was a way that I just kind of said, this is my chance to go do something, right? And I did connect with some of the Phoenix leaders down here in Arizona. We decided to carpool, which I was prepared to drive up there. It would have been about 7.5 hours as well. But for me, it was kind of a way to see what it's about, disconnect from my professional life and kind of decompress, which I knew I needed, and with like-minded people, right? I've been in recovery for 9 years, and I just was kind of curious of what everything would look like. And so we were able to carpool, build a community really quick. I'm sure you guys can tell I'm not bashful. So we had good conversations kind of going up, and I've met friends now that I consider part of my recovery community as well as what I'm doing, you know, in terms of the Phoenix and other volunteers that are hosting events. When I got there, I was very impressed. The lineup was everything set up for me. Tents were set up, things like that. I haven't camped in 15 to 20 years. So the worries I had were kind of alleviated when I walked in, but even still from meeting Michael and a few of the other gentlemen that we carpooled with, right? They had relationships outside of the Phoenix area. So I basically stayed two steps behind them. They introduced me. Everyone kind of liked the story that I was brand new to this and this was my first event. So it made conversation really easy. And I think I've shared this with Beth too is, you know, there wasn't a lot of qualifying in terms of recovery and things like that. There was kind of an understanding that, you know, we had all been through similar ways. I mean, those conversations happened, but at the end of the day, everyone was just happy to meet other people that thought this was a good idea.
Wow, we. I think the there's so much there. First of all, you reaching out to people and then driving 7.5 hours with people that like you didn't know, and that immediate click. And you know, once you say Michael, it's like, okay, like when you meet Michael in Arizona, you immediately fall in love with the guy. He's just a wonderful person. But you know, this is a thing that I found in relation to the recovery community, it started for me in the recovery community, but it branched me out and gave me the antenna to be able to see where this exists in other communities and really planted in my heart the phrase or the ideal that I haven't met everybody is going to love me yet, is that like there's people in alignment with the life that we seek to live that are waiting for us to raise our hand and say, like, we want to tag along. And they'll gladly welcome us to come, and then we'll make connections that allow for us to traverse these new levels in our life with people who are already on that pathway and can show us those ways. And so when you mix that qualitative, because we have Beth in the room, I get to use the word qualitative data, but that qualitative increasing quality of life, but then you mix it with like the very structured notion of going out camping and like climbing and the scientific addition to a person's life of like doing something hard and tough that maybe you wouldn't have done otherwise, and overcoming that and seeing physically what it is that you can do and the new levels that you can take it to. I know you all have some stories in relation to those experiences. What have been some stories that you all have pulled from the experiences that you've had on this Moab camping trip?
Where do you begin with that? having this like expectation of what everything's going to look like is always like something that like trips me up from the beginning. You know, I drove from LA last year, so I was 12 hours with volunteers who are coming out. And from the beginning, it was like, although it was super fun and exciting, there was also like trepidation, because it was like, I'm going to be in a van for 12 hours with people. What if I have the tiniest bladder in the world. I just put it out to the world now. And I was like, what if we have to stop every 10 minutes? And there were other people that also had that fear. And it was like, you know what? Like, we are community. We are family instantly. Like, we figured that out. And then you get to the campsite and, you know, again, I was like, I have no, like, there might be wild lizards everywhere biting people's knees, or I don't know, like, you know,
what else is going to be like, right?
Not the knee bites.
But we, but like, what happens is like the day before everyone gets there, we set up this tent city. So like, we are out there. And so when most folks get there, like, the community is built in already. Your home for the weekend is set up. Like, everything is taken care of you, for you. And, you know, there are so many people who have never climbed before or never been on a bike ride before. Like, there's a lot of firsts for so many people. And I think it is one of the beautiful things about taking a group of sober folks out there is that we already know how to hold space for each other, and we already know how to create safe spaces. And so for the person who is afraid, like, you don't have to like put on a brave face. You could say like, I'm really nervous about this. Like, I had never outdoor rock climbed before. And like, it was like, everybody's there like holding you through this thing. So that is like one of the most magical things about it for me, is like, and watching other people, like watching somebody who says like, I didn't think I was capable of this. And watching them walk through those things, like, it exceeded my expectation in what I experienced in community there.
I want to bounce off that, if that's okay, Joey, because I had like very similar experience, and that for me, just putting myself in a situation or environment which was maybe unfamiliar or like a little bit of a fear of the unknown. But what I often see in Phoenix spaces anyway is that like, you overcome challenges that you never thought you were potentially capable of. And that is because of the support and camaraderie of the people alongside you, and this like instant trust that is built with one another. But what I found most powerful was that didn't just show up for me, but seeing that in other people too, of people who maybe like at the beginning of the day were like, I can't go and climb whatever the rock face is called. And then you see them later at camp and they're like, oh my God, I did it. And I've signed up for the harder climb tomorrow. And I think that growth for me, reflecting on Moab, was something that stayed with me. So like, yeah, what happens in Moab doesn't stay in Moab, because those moments of like growth and the people that you meet, that stays with you forever, which is powerful.
Yeah, I'd like to add, I mean, what Beth just said is exactly my experience specifically with Beth and other volunteers that kind of helped us through that climb, right? I'm a rather big guy. At the time COVID had happened, I had gained a lot of weight and I got outdoors. So that was my priority, to go out there and just kind of see what it was like. But I did some yoga. I did some other things. But like, you know, I thought was the easier hike. It turned out to be the harder hike. but like I said, I hadn't done that in a while. And I've always been like an adventurous kid, but not at 300 plus pounds. And so like when we got up to a part, I kind of fell back twice up the hills, and Beth as well as another volunteer kind of stayed with me, got me some, you know, a Kind bar and some electrolytes and give me some more water so I could finish that climb, right? And everyone was very supportive when I was there. Everyone was supportive when I got up, and everyone was supportive when I got down. And everything like that was just how, it's what I needed at the time, right? I'd never put myself out there like that. But at the same time, it wasn't like, you know, for a second that, you know, the hardest person on myself was me. And there was nothing but encouragement from those, from everyone to help me finish and make that presence strong. And I did not make the harder hike this year or last year for the arches. I have a picture of the arch on my wall. That's kind of how I got familiar with Moab, because a friend actually left that picture, a former roommate, and I've always kept it. So my goal is to replace that picture with me standing on front of the arch.
So.
So
cool.
I love that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the picture. I can't wait to see the picture. And it's like, you know, it's kind of one, it's kind of a testament to like who we become, you know, versus what it is that we do. You know, we can have this thing that we want to do, which, you know, for you, Mike, was like, you know, I want to, you know, challenge myself or go and just, you know, be open. But like who we become from that experience, like Beth said, like what happens there doesn't stay there. Like it follows back into our lives, and it turns us into the people that, okay, maybe I'm even more open, because what other experiences exist out here in the world right now? Like what other people are out here that I can meet that can support me and hold me up? And now that I know what support feels like how could I show up for somebody else, you know, when they need it? And so it's beautiful that there's this experience that allows for some of those things to be cultivated. I'm curious as to what were you all's personal favorite moments? Did you all have any personal favorite experiences, specifically Joey and Beth, with the times that you went up to Moab?
I mean, one of the first things that comes to mind for me is the gratitude circle. You know, we circle up, I think, on Friday evening, and everyone is together, and we go around in a circle and we speak of gratitude. The power of, I mean, first of all, you know, the Phoenix is like this global community of people that like we don't know, right? And then we are all coming together. And so you're meeting so many people for the first time. And honestly, like, that in itself, like going camping for 4 days with a bunch of strangers, can feel scary. You know, I know for like my personal experience being of a trans identity, I was nervous. Like I was like, I don't know if I'm going to feel comfortable, if I'm going to feel welcome there. I mean, these are just things in my head. And I got to sit in this large circle of people, mostly strangers at the time, and get to be honest. And everybody got to talk about like real feelings and real experiences. And it, there is something about being under those stars in that park with this group of people having like deep and meaningful connection that I have, I mean, I have goosebumps right now. You know, it was... It was so emotional and so bonding that, yeah, I love all of the physical activities. Like, they're all so fun. But it's that connection that I made there with people.
You stole my answer, because I was also going to say the gratitude circle amongst, like, a million other things which are amazing at Moab. But that, for me, was this moment of, like, I left the gratitude circle just in tears because of the like level of vulnerability and authenticity that people had showed up with. And yeah, that's like strangers who have, a lot of whom have never met, then just sharing just like so openly and around how the community or sobriety is changing or has totally transformed their life. And I'll never forget a moment when a lady who was really new to Phoenix community had, she just showed up and she was like speaking to someone on this hike. She shared some of her like deepest kind of vulnerabilities. And then at the end of this, she said, wait, I haven't even asked you what your name is yet. It's like that in itself is Phoenix, right? Because we show up and there is this like shared connection regardless of why people are there, and just like, yeah, spaces in which people feel safe and supported, that just happens. And it's kind of magical. So yeah, gratitude circle is also up there for me, as well as just these moments of like spontaneous stuff happening. So yes, there is like a calendar of activities, but you don't have to stick to that. It can be like your own little self-directed adventure. So there was some like guitars laying by some hammocks, and for the people who are musical or like, I kind of fancy trying to play the guitar or singing, you'd just like come back to camp and that would just be happening. Or some other people would have gone to do a morning run, like to watch the sunrise together, because yeah, just that happens. So that's my reflection.
So like beyond the spontaneous goings ons, what does a calendar look like? Like, is there meditation, yoga? What all type of activities beyond climbing and hiking go on out in Moab?
Everything. I mean, you can get up in the morning and you can go for a run. You can also do, you know, a group yoga and meditation. There's road biking. There's mountain biking. There's different times, different types of rock climbing. There's hike. And then there's also things like there's tours where, you know, we get in a van and we drive all over the park and get to see all of these spectacular different views. And then another adventure is just going to town, because we usually go to town after we do this stuff. And so you can have lunch, you can go do a little shopping. I mean, it's really like such a varied experience, you know? And for the person that's not interested in going to town, you can hang back and have a guitar circle or whatever, you know? So, and then besides that, there's small groups of people that get together. Like there's a recovery meeting, if you want to go to a recovery meeting in the evening. There's like different diversity groups that are being created and hanging out. So it is a full day. Like you go to bed tired and ready to fall asleep.
And then when you sleep, do you sleep in a tent on the floor with the lizards? So you're talking to, say you talk to somebody, like there's somebody listening, like, okay, all this sounds wonderful. Like, I'd love to be able to come out and connect. I'd love to be able to like meet new people. I'd even love to challenge myself to a hike or, you know, new physical challenges, but I've never slept outside. Like, I've never camped. Like, what does that entail? Can I really do that? What would you say to that person?
I took the list of what they suggested and literally followed it by the letter. I've always wanted to buy such equipment, but this was kind of my reason to do so. So I might have gone to an outdoor store and kind of just said, this is what I need, and I'm prepared to pay for it and bring it there, with the exception of what I felt were the most expensive things, was the tent and the sleeping bag, right? I've since done my research and I purchased both, but that was kind of the thing where that part was saved for me. So it made it that much easier just to get what I needed and show up, right? And I think that was important because it did follow to the law. We did a lot of things, and I think even the Phoenix volunteers and the leadership, like I said, started to add things proactively during the days. They're like, maybe we need this, and they would go out and get it, right? And it was just kind of like being providing for what is going to make this event better in an hour from now, right? So it was very cool in that effect. I will also say, like you said, it was my first experience doing that, but kind of what you said, Bryce, earlier is when 200 tents are stacked, you know, in line together along the side of the Colorado River, which is certainly awesome, no animals are in sight. Maybe a fish, because the water was a little higher. But, you know, we're pretty much scarce of just people in ourselves. And
I think your knees are safe.
I don't know. Fish might bite your knee too. Depending on how deep in the water you is.
Oh, God.
And I think actually some people maybe ended up, you know, if the camping wasn't for them, or if it started raining a little bit, maybe they'd get in their car with their sleeping bag to sleep, or check into a hotel if it's not for you.
I think, you know, I think I'm so glad you said that, Beth, because I think for me, I haven't been to Moab. When I was a kid, we camped quite a bit. So I have, you know, pictures in my head of what it looks like. And I tend to be fearful of things that I don't know what to expect, mostly when I feel like I might not have a lot of control, which, you know, is a life, waking up in the morning kind of thing. But I like to have in my head like, okay, if this happens, then I know that my needs will be taken care of, you know? So I think knowing that, like, if you got there and you didn't like sleeping in a tent, like there, you know, there's other options. If you don't want to do the thing that the group is doing, like nobody's forcing you to do anything. Like, so you're signing up for a thing, which you still are able to create your own experience. And, you know, you have a group of people that not only are going to, you know, not force you to do something you don't want to do, but also are going to like cheer you on as you make choices that are going to be best for you and your experience and your recovery. And just, you know, your well-being and safety is always top of mind. Anytime you're doing anything with this community, you can be in a Zoom room and that's the case. So certainly when you're out at Moab, you know, you have that freedom and you have that support, and you really just get to feel like safe in that way, which, what a cool opportunity to be in such a wild place and be so supported. Like, that's just beautiful. Thank you for saying that.
And I also think like just knowing yourself and like knowing like what some of your needs are, like I'm a camper, like I can throw a blanket on the floor and sleep, you know, but that's not everybody's story. I did see people who brought like, you know, queen size air mattresses and blew them up in somebody's car. Battery.
Those are my people. Like,
that's somebody who knows, like, I can't sleep on the ground. And, you know, no shame in their game. It's just like know what you're, you know, I mean, know what you're capable of. And for some people, until they don't know what they're capable of, you know, like, it's, I mean, it's also that of like, just like being open-minded and, you know, and there is, everybody exists in different ways. You know, so there's no shame at like, you know, I don't expect the next person to be comfortable sleeping on the floor. You know, it's like.
So I'm going to come and then I'm going to bring my inflatable mattress and I'm going to bring inflatable room service and I'm going to bring, and nobody's going to judge me. They're going to let me be me. They're going to let me leave.
Well, there already is room service because they bring in catered meals for you. So,
It's. I don't have to hunt my prey.
No, you don't have to.
Don't have to eat lizards.
Right out the river,
I'm the only one by the campfire with a lizard on a stick. Like, y'all gonna get down on this?
Let's teach the other ones to bite your knees.
Yeah, he bit me. They ain't gonna bite me no more.
Oh my gosh.
No, this sounds like a crazy experience, and one in which I know that the Phoenix community, people who aren't even aware of the Phoenix community, people who just want to find connection would be interested in getting involved in. And so what is the process of registering for a Moab trip?
Shall I come in there? I think I have some ideas. So each year, signups will open and that goes out on the Phoenix social page. So check out for any like registration for Moab is live. I think there is currently something in our link tree about that. But if you're on the Phoenix app, we also have a Moab space in there. So that's a great way to keep like one up to date with when signups are available, but also to connect with others who maybe you've got questions for the trip ahead. If you're registered and you want to connect with people, maybe Mike, you maybe think of this earlier, like last year I saw loads of people, sorry, I'm pivoting totally from your question, Bryce. I kind of semi-answered the registration thing, but I've got another idea. You saw people connect through that to be like, hey, I'm flying into Salt Lake City. Is anyone going to be driving who I can catch a ride with? Or, damn, I'm on my way and I've forgotten my, I don't know, spotlight, headlight, or your... Exactly. Can anyone help me out? And people do. So the Moab space on the app, registration on socials, and word has it, there is a Moab blog on the Phoenix website currently.
Cool. Okay.
So lots of different touch points to learn more.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the purpose of this conversation, you know, which I think you all just so beautifully accomplished, is not to, you know, if someone's out there listening, most likely by the time this podcast drops, you know, it will be beyond the point that you can join up with the Moab trip for 2024, which is when we're recording this. You know, in the future, there will be other opportunities, and it does, you know, fill up. Like, this is not a sales pitch by any means. It's more just if you're considering doing this or really anything maybe outside of the realm of what you might think you're capable of, or what you might think you're brave enough to do. Like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what maybe thing that I can I try that I've been a little too nervous to try in the past? This is like your encouragement to maybe consider it and maybe believe in yourself, and also, you know, maybe ways to show up and support folks that that might be in that headspace. If you are a brave person, if you are a Joey who can just throw a blanket on the ground and lay there and sleep and camp. So yeah, so this, that's, you know, if you had know someone who is doing something, whether it's camping or another brave activity that they might have not thought they'd be capable of, send them, share this episode, because you can do it. We can do anything, man.
On that note too, Liz, what is one thing that you've done that you threw yourself into that you didn't think that you'd be able to do, but was like, yo, I'm about to just do it?
Gosh, I mean, ever since recovery, it's been, I feel like every single thing I do, I look back, I'm like, holy crap, look at that. I did that. Well, this recent move that we did, you know, my husband and I, we moved from Rochester down to Florida because we decided we didn't like the cold. And then we never thought we'd come back. And part of that, to be honest, was a little bit of ego, you know, like we left, we were done with the cold. We were going to be in the warm. We are people in Tampa now. And we're like, actually, I really miss my mom. And, you know, there's things about upstate New York we like. So 8 years later, we just packed up our whole lives and did it again. And that was really scary. And now I've done that twice. And I, you know, sure couldn't have done that before recovery. Holy smokes. Mm.
And now you're shopping at Wegmans every day.
Oh, and I love Wegmans. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Exactly. How about you, Bryce? Tell me yours. That's such a good question.
I think the biggest thing that I've done thus far was the silent meditation retreat. And, you know, we talked about that on the show. Mm-hmm. You all who have been listening for a while got that feedback in real time. Mm-hmm. I had never fasted from words before. Everything that I've built in my recovery professional and really like creatively and for fun is all built on communication, specifically using words. Mm-hmm. And sort of like take that break from like using my words and really like sitting in what it is that I was experiencing and feeling. I'm you know, I'm kind of like Mike in that sense where it's like, you know, I went for the harder hike. I thought it was the easier one, but it turned out to be the more complicated one. And like looking back, if I would have tapped my mans on the shoulder, like, man, maybe start with like the 2-day silent meditation retreat. Don't go like straight for the entire 7 days. But I'm glad I did. And I've been thinking lately, like there's got to be something that I could do to kind of like challenge myself and throw myself into community in a different way. So, and I just want to end this conversation on that note, because like listener, you lovely person, you, what can you do to challenge yourself, to grow yourself, to grow your community, to get outside of what it is that you do normally, to get outside of who it is that you've come to understand yourself to be as you have been normally? And not saying that you're anything but perfect in this moment right now. You're inherently complete and whole right now. And there's a whole life to live. There's people you haven't met that are ready to love you. There's places you haven't been that are going to unlock things inside of you that bring yourself closer to you. And what are some ways that you can push yourself to embrace those adventures? Because, you know, life is our oyster now. We can, how's the metaphor go? We can shuck it or whatever, right? I don't know. But yeah, the world is yours, man. Like, you know, so, yeah.
My husband, Billy, would say, Billy is famous for getting different phrases like that mixed up. So mixed he would up. Say, the sky is your oyster. That's what he said to me before. Okay. you know the spirit behind it.
Like, sir, this is a Walmart. What? Well, oh, thank goodness. You, Joey, Mike, Beth, for sliding on us today and detailing your experience with Moab. I'm excited for you all this year for what you'll get to experience. And I'm excited for everybody who's listening to this who is going to go to Moab this year or may go to Moab in a year or may do something that challenges themselves. There's a lot of excitement there. And I'm proud of you. We're proud of you. We're proud of you for taking that step and doing something cool. So.
Yeah, we sure are. And if you have more questions that we didn't answer here, please do make sure you've downloaded the Phoenix app and hop into that Moab space. and ask questions, because there's folks that are probably going to have similar ones. And no question is a bad question. Even if it's about lizards biting your knees, we will put your mind at ease here.
That was a great question, Liz. There's like millions of people who have that question.
I didn't see one lizard last year.
Shame. That would actually disappoint me. Like, no lizards. Anyways, we love you all, and we will catch you on the next episode of Rise, Recover, Live.
See ya.
So now you're excited. Bryce, Liz, how do I get involved with the Phoenix? Well, my friend, it is super simple. We actually have an app. Head over to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, or look in the show notes of this podcast, wherever you're listening to or watching this podcast, and go download the Phoenix app.
The Phoenix app makes it so easy to find classes that are near you, or to access our virtual class schedule where you can hop on from the comfort of your home. You can also join our groups and have a conversation with someone from the Phoenix community from anywhere in the world. Please make sure that you join the podcast group where you can connect with Bryce and I and other listeners. Everything that you need is in the show notes. You can also head to our website at www.thephoenix.org. And maybe while you're there, you click the volunteer tab and get even more involved.